Our text is from Luke chapter 20, verses 37 and 38. Jesus says, but in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Here ends our text. For centuries, it was popular to make a death mask of a person's face out of plaster or wax following their death. They did this as remembrance of that person. That strikes me as a morose way to remember a person. But I wonder, is our remembering of those in Christ who've gone before us to heaven much better? Remember when. That's how we usually think of our loved ones. They are in the past. They're back when. We use past tense verbs in speaking of them. He was good with his hands. Not he is good. She liked to cook. Not she likes to cook. Our loved ones in Christ, they are alive to us, but they're in the past. Is that really less morose than looking at a plaster mask of their face made moments after their death? One of the reasons the church has celebrated All Saints Day is to bring the dead in Christ into the present. Though our sermon hymn described death as a narrow stream, I doubt that's how it is to you most of the time. Most of the time, it's a river, not a stream, and it's not narrow, but it's like the Moon River. It's wider than a mile. Death seems to have our loved ones locked in the past, far away from us. Celebrating All Saints brings them into the present. It's like that recent movie, Forgotten. A mom says her child's name daily, that she believes to have died, and the child's memory stays alive for her, though everyone around her says the child never existed to begin with. And that's how it can seem with our dead in Christ. The sands of time quickly blow over their footsteps, filling them in as if they were never were. That shirt, that plate, that chair, that cup, were they ever used by anyone? Then All Saints Day comes around, and we speak their name again out loud, and we remember when. Now that's better than not remembering at all, but there's something better still. We remember today in the present time our loved ones in Christ in the past. God, however, knows them in the present. God doesn't know them as someone who used to be. He doesn't know them as an individual who loved, liked, or was, but as a person who loves, likes, and is. How come? Because as Jesus says in our text, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus said this in response to people who denied that the dead rise. Jesus says the dead most certainly do rise because they are alive right now to God, for to him all are alive. Now that ought to give you goosebumps. It ought to send a shiver down your spine. Not just the souls of our loved ones, but their bodies are alive to God. You know how every now and then certain sights, certain sounds, certain smells can make your loved one suddenly present to you, with you, right then and there? Well, to God, they're always that way. They're not nameless, faceless souls floating around before him. They are as alive, as real, and as individual as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are to him. You still don't get it. I am not just saying that God knows our loved ones in Christ as living before him right now. I am saying he knows them body and soul that way. Though our loved ones' bodies are buried in the ground, returning to the dust that God first made them from. Though we might not even know where our loved ones' remains are. Though our loved one might have been burned up with fire, lost at sea, destroyed in war. God knows where each and every molecule of our loved one is. The early church used this wonderful scene to bring that point home. God is standing before the grave of Adam, and he says, Adam. And Adam's body calls forth from under the dirt, here am I, Lord. And God responds, I will raise you. Now don't think that's is too far-fetched. Though the soul of our loved one in Christ is praising God in heaven right now, God has not forgotten about their body. He knows where every particle of it is, because to him, all are alive. Think DNA here. Science can state with certainty above 99% that this hair, this piece of skin, this tiny drop of blood could only belong to me and not any of the other billions of people on the planet. Do you think science knows more than God? God not only can identify which molecules belong to our loved ones in Christ, he knows where they all are right this very second. And they are not dead, nameless bits of information. But they are as living and real to God right now as when we held them, they talked to us, or we laughed together. And they can and should be that alive and real to us, not only on All Saints Day, but every day. You know why they're not? Because death is too strong for us. Death is a deep, wide, uncrossable river to us. But do not think that death is stronger than God. Don't think that God gets to the river of death and has to turn back. And don't think I speak only of God the Father in his majesty. I also speak of God the Son in our flesh and blood. He too is mightier than death. Death is a shallow, narrow trickle of a stream to Jesus. Scripture calls death the last enemy. Right after Adam and Eve fall into death in Genesis 3. And right after Cain brings death into their home in Genesis 4. The litany of death begins in chapter 5. Then he died. Then he died. That is the response to the versicle, and he lived so many years. You've heard that litany of death chanted all of your life. Your grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, spouse, army buddy, son, daughter lived so many months, so many years, so many days, and he died, and she died. Death marched on, devouring generation after generation of people. But then death ran into Christ. It was like hitting a brick wall. Rather than death swallowing him as it had every man, woman, and child before him, he swallowed death. And then he taunted death. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Now, St. Paul goes on to explain this taunt. The strength of sin, as it was, the strength of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. The strength of death is sin. What makes death so permanent, so unbeatable to us, is sin. Our loved ones who died, even though they died in Christ, they were sinners. Even though we have a tendency to make our loved ones saints in the wrong sense of that word, once they die, we know deep down they were sinners. The closer we live with them, well, the better we know their sins. The power of death is sin. Their very real sins keep our dead loved ones across the deep river called death and in the distant past. But Paul didn't just say the strength of death is sin. He also said the power of sin is the law. Death gets its power over us from sin, and sin gets its power over us from the law. So take care of the law, and you take care of sin. Take care of sin, and you've taken care of death. You can take care of the law one of two ways. By living a perfect life, or by being in Christ, who lived a perfect life in place of all sinners and died in their place under the penalties the law required. St. Paul says the first choice, living a perfect life under the law, is no choice, because no one is able to do that. His answer to the laws being sin's power is this, and I quote, "Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The reason we can see our loved ones in the present and know that the river called death is no more than a trickle is because that they have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And where is one place that we go for proof that they have Christ's victory? We go where little Tori went this morning. We go to baptism. Victoria is the feminine form of victorious. Today, Victoria is given the victory that Christ won for on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. Paul in Romans 6 says that as many as been baptized into Christ, they have been joined to his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb. Today, Christ took Tori's sinful old Adam and put it in the grave and brought forth a new creation in her that will live forever. Victoria is victorious by baptism today. And so are our loved ones in Christ. Baptized into Christ, they were clothed with Christ, they were reborn into Christ, their old sinful nature was buried with Christ, and a new nature came forth with Christ when he rose from the dead. Or do you somehow think that the head of a person could rise from the dead and leave the body buried? Of course not. Baptism joins you to the body of Christ, the Holy Christian Church. Where the head Christ goes, the body has got to follow. Let me ask you, do you know where your body is at all times? Has it ever happened to you that your head lost track of its body? That does not happen to Christ either. Those who have died, joined to him by baptism, bodied and bloodied to him by Holy Communion, regenerated in him by absolution, they are known by Christ as well as you know the back of your own hand. He knows where they are right now, and they are not far away from him. The saints in heaven are always gathered around Christ. Where he is, there they are. Though their bodies might be found in dust and ashes, scattered in a million different places, Christ knows where each molecule is, and he's going to call them back together, as easy as he called them into being in the first place. But Christ does not see them as particles of dust strewn all over creation, and neither does he see them far away across some foreboding river called death, only living on in memories. No, Christ sees the saints alive and present in this moment of time. At this communion rail, you should see them that way too. Because when you laud and magnify God's holy name, you do so not just with angels, not just with archangels, but with all the company of heaven. And we all use this expression, "remember when," to refer to our loved ones in Christ. But it's better to say, as the church father Chrysostom recommended, say, "remember he, she has gone on a journey and will return with the king." And let me add, the king returns in just a few moments, and he brings with him more than gruesome death masks or sweet memories of your loved ones. He brings your loved ones. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the Te Deum on page 4.